packed house in the name of the Lord today. We are so thankful. Thousands in attendance. There really are. There are angels. There's the Holy Spirit's here. We're so thankful wherever you are, everyone in the room. I see you over there, right there. Right there. I see you all. So I'm thankful that we get to continue our Women of the Word series, and we're diving into this. I need you to go ahead. I know there's probably only a few in the room. Let somebody know today, God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. We're going to kick it off the same way last week. God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. All right, husbands, I'm going to set you up on a tee right here. You need to make sure, get your phone out so you can text your wife on this one. That way when you're watching it later, are you ready? Have you ever just wanted something in life so much you would give everything up for it? Husbands, that's when you look at your wife and say, I did until I found you. Come on. I'm trying to get them Sunday afternoon naps. Tough crowd. So that being said, all the way through, this is what we're going to dive into today. Because for all of us, as we go into this story today, the woman of the word that we're going to learn from is Hannah. And Hannah was willing to give up everything just to have the one thing that she saw would bring purpose to her life, and she saw that would bring meaning to her life. And it's no coincidence today that we're in the book of Hannah. See, I love how Hannah is spelled, because it's the same backwards and forwards. It's the right way to spell Hannah. When they leave those H's off the end, I'm just saying, if that's you, and I'm sorry, you can get mad at me, but I love it. It's the same forward and backward, but the reason this matters to me today is my mother's birthday, and I heard this story all the time growing up, because it's the story of her with me. And you're going to see what Hannah says here at the end of 1 Samuel 1 when we dive into this, and says, this is the child I prayed for. I used to hear that all the time, so it's an honor to get to preach on my mother's birthday. Usually it kind of falls not on the weekend as we've got to gather together, but it's very special to me today because it is her birthday. So wherever you are right now, I want you to go ahead and grab your Bible. I'm going to get mine ready too. We're going to be in the 1 Samuel, Joshua judges Ruth, 1 Samuel as you get there. We're going to keep going there. And if you don't have it, we're going to learn about Samuel today. If you don't have a Bible, as always, we have them free for the asking in the garden. You take that home with you. You write in it. You bring it with you on Sundays. You come hang out with us and bring it with you on Thursday nights. You gather with us as we have worship, Wednesday worship praise break online, and you can be in your Bible. We would love for you to follow along with us. Having that Bible in hand means so much. As always, we say it, you can follow along with us for free on our Vine Church app. It's kind of like our Swiss Army knife, our information hub. When you download that today at thevine.tv/app, you're going to be able to see today's sermon notes, but also just information of everything going on at the Vine. And last but not least, as always, I'm thankful that Zach always makes sure with our Vine production team, wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, that it is on the screen for you, so that way you can follow along with us, and my eyesight that can't see anything can see very well. So if you're with me in 1 Samuel 1, give me an amen. I hear amen in the house of the Lord. So we got to set it up real quick. We're going to start in verse 6, but we're going to meet a few characters in Hannah's story to begin with, okay? The first one is Elkanah, her husband. What a strong name, Elkanah. I love that name. Now, a little bit about Elkanah is he is a Levite. He is from the tribe of Levi, yet he is not living a Levite lifestyle. It would not be normal for a Levite to have multiple wives, and so instead of that, Elkanah continues to bring a sacrifice to this place called Shiloh every year, okay? And so he goes up and brings a sacrifice to Shiloh every year, and he brings his two wives and their children, okay? So one of his wives is Hannah, and the other one is Peninnah. Now, I know that's weird. We're going to look at that and how we say it. I'll make sure I try to say it correctly on there. But what happens is Hannah, we're going to learn, has no children. But the other wife of Elkanah does. If you've ever read the story of Jacob and Rachel, this sounds very familiar, very similar story. And what I love is how this is painting a picture for all of us, how God does what only He can do. Now, this, if you want to look at a festival, Elkanah going to Shiloh, he would go and bring a sacrifice, and then he was supposed to bring the meat back home. And when he brought the meat back home, his family was supposed to eat it. Now, we can't say what festival this is or why Elkanah does it, but this is the Passover festival. Because remember, you're supposed to have the Passover lamb and you paint the blood on the door, and you're supposed to eat the entire lamb. And if you can't, you and your neighbor are supposed to share one lamb and eat it together. kind of crazy how the Lord lines things up, because something starts this week in Israel, and it is the Passover. So it's really cool that we can be in the Word of God and doing that. So as we see, as we get to verse 7, what happens is Elkanah gives Hannah a double portion of the meat compared to everyone else, because he loves her so dearly. So let's see how this plays out. If you got your Bible, 1 Samuel 1, verse 6 through 7, and let's see and learn from this woman of the word, Hannah. And it says this in verse 6, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Now let me ask you before we go to verse 7, it's going to stay on the screen here. Does it say that Hannah sinned? Does it say that Hannah harmed herself? Does it say that Hannah and Elkanah were living in sin? No, it just says the reason she does not have children is because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. Now, all of us today have closed wombs in our life. We may not believe it, but we do. We have things in our life that we think are dead. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's maybe it's an industry. Maybe it's a career. All of us today, maybe it's rest. Maybe it's health. Have a closed womb in our life. We are looking for God and God alone to move in, and it's only closed because he closed it. And I don't know about you, but we're going to learn about Hannah. I wish I could say I modeled my life like Hannah. And when those wounds were closed, I didn't try to control it, try to figure out what to do, try to fix it all on my own without God, and then start working on my own and then say, God bless it, instead of doing what Hannah has done. And we're going to see her go to God first with these closed wounds. See, it's important that we see, as we go to verse 7, the reason this matters is in the Old Testament, if you did not have children, it was believed God was not blessing you for some reason. So Hannah may have the love of her husband, but she doesn't have the love of her community. She has no status in the community. Just like a Job, perhaps, or anyone else, they shun her. They're just like, man, you got some hidden sin. That's the reason God doesn't bless you. Why don't you just get right with God, and he'll finally give you some kids? But we see that's not what happened. God closed Hannah's womb. Verse 7 says this, this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Now that's Peninnah, however you say it. I'm going to screw that up. But Peninnah, she ridicules her. Now what we're about to see is, this doesn't say that she does it in the, I don't think she would have done it in the sight of Elkanah. I honestly don't think Elkanah would have put up with it. He needed his wives to get along. He needed his family to get along. But instead, behind closed doors, when they would go up, she poked and prodded Hannah. You know, it's real funny. The people that are religious, that feel they're in the blessing of God, sometimes can punch and bite us the hardest, can't they? Church people, right? That's all of us. Now, today you may say, hey, I don't want to be a part of a church because they're a bunch of hypocrites and I don't want to be there. And I just want to tell you, we got room for one more. Come on in the house of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that because ain't none of us got it together. But I do want to tell you this. Sometimes when somebody does that, it's because they're lacking something. See, Peninnah doesn't have Elkanah's love. She has given him children, so she is just a conduit for Elkanah to be blessed. And so she's angry at Hannah for it. Don't we have most of those seasons in our life? I mean, most of us have those seasons, don't we? See, here's the difference in Hannah and Peninnah. They put expectations on God that were different. Hannah's about to walk in faith with her expectation of God. But just like Peninnah, what we can do is, if God doesn't meet our expectation of what we thought he should do and bless us, don't we get mad at him? I do. I will resent him. I'll get mad at him at that moment in time. Like, am I not doing the right thing, God? Isn't this what you want me to do? Why in the world will you not bless it? And so when he doesn't, I take it out on everybody else. We all do it. Don't lie. You got pets in the house. There's one little runt that always gets the brunt of the poor thing. Like, there's something for all of us. We can get there. And you know the difference between us and Hannah? Control. We want to control it. Hannah understood she had no control over it, that it was God and God alone who had it. See, for all of us, that's the model with which we can follow and learn from. So here we go. Verse 8 through 11. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, Why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look to your servant's misery and remember me and not forget the servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Now, Samuel's the last judge. We're going to learn about Samuel. It's so important because Samuel is actually the last judge that anoints the kings of Israel. He anoints King Saul. Later, he anoints King David in 1 Samuel 16. And we're going to learn a lesson that Eli's about to learn that Samuel learns later. See, Elkanah, today in our Bible reading plan, it said that Elkanah might have been provoking her with this, but I kind of take it at a different heart. He's trying to show her that she means more than his status. She means more than their status, that he loves her so much that if she never gave him children, his love would not stop. And that's a model love that I think that we would all want. And so Hannah now has a choice to make. Does she continue getting beat up in her anguish? Does she wallow in it? Does she lash back? Does she clap back? Does she get at everybody and say, God, I want revenge on everybody? No, she instead says, Lord, if you bless me with this, I'm going to give it right back to you. See, isn't that how we should all be living when it comes to God's blessings? We're not blessed so that we can have. We're blessed so that we can give. See, that's a big difference. It's an offering. See, offering tells us more about ourselves than God, because the truth of the matter is, does God need anything at all from us? He don't. Yet when we give it back to him as an offering, it is always blessed. When it goes out, instead of being kept in, I will tell you in my life, when God's blessed me and I send it out, it never comes back empty. It never comes. And I'm not talking about, this is your best investment advice. I'm talking real life. When I go out and God's peace surrounds me in a difficult season and I send out his peace to others, it comes back to me tenfold. It keeps coming back to me. See, I wonder if in our life with those closed wounds, instead of resenting God and having these expectations, think that we didn't have control over all of it. We don't. We have control of one thing, our surrender. And our surrender requires faith. And we see Hannah do that. What I love about this is, I think that Elkanah probably knew her struggles, but she knew that Elkanah couldn't fully identify with it. So she goes to God and says, hey, you're the only one that can fix this. You're the only one that can fix my health issues. You're the only one that can fix my finances, my relationships. You're the only one that can do it. No one else can. So I'm going to go to you first. And when you respond to me, that's when I go to everybody else. Don't we work the opposite way, though, sometimes? I like to tell everybody else what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to pray about it just a little bit later, you know. I'm going to go get some lottery tickets, Lord, and we're going to win it. I'm going to tell everybody, and they're going to be mad at you when it don't happen, because I'm going to be mad at you, instead of the other way around. I would be crazy to think, though, some of us might even be in this season in verse 10 right now that Hannah was in deep anguish, weeping bitterly. See, sometimes we have to be reminded that, what is it that it says? I think it's Psalms, or it talks about God wiping away our tears and reminding us. I could be wrong on that. I'm sorry. But we know in the end, though, where we will be with all of those loved ones in Christ, there will be no more crying. All those tears. See, Hannah didn't negotiate with God, did she? She didn't say, if you do this, then I'll do that. We think that's what it is, but she says, if you bless me with this, God, I'm giving it right back to you. And to be quite honest, that's probably why she was blessed. Her heart was in the right place. She understood what really gave meaning to her life was not the child she would bear, but God. But in the world that she lived in, the thing that she thought would bring the most purpose, she was willing to give up. We're about to see that's a picture of the gospel more than anything. Let's get to verse 12 and see how this plays out as Hannah runs into this dude named Eli. Not Eli Manning, don't get excited, but Eli. Verse 12, as she kept on praying to the Lord, what does Eli observe first, church? Eli observed her what? Her mouth. Verse 13 says this, Hannah was praying in her what? Heart. And her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Now, before we go on and get in here, understand this. In spite of her circumstance, in spite of where she is, in spite of what she sees with her eyes, Hannah keeps praying. Eli does what many of us do. We start with the word and not the heart. But Jesus teaches us what? Out of the overflow of the what speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But so many times, we want to talk about what's coming out of that mouth. And Eli was looking at her thinking, what is going on? So much so, he says this, Eli thought she was drunk. She's been in the communal wine, church, I don't know. And he said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. I can't tell you the times I've put my foot in my mouth, judging from the mouth first instead of the heart. But you see, we have to understand what Eli has done is that's the same thing that God's going to teach Samuel in 1 Samuel 16. Remember, all of David's brothers come on, and Samuel's looking, and he's like, surely it's this one. He's a strapping young lad. He's the tallest one. Like, it's Shaquille O'Neal in front of me. That's got to be a king. And they're like, no, that ain't the king. That ain't going to work. Then next he rolls up, and all of a sudden it's a Steve Nash. It's a little short guy. And he's just like, well, is this not it? He can be the assist king. I don't know what happens. And God's like, no, that's not it. Samuel, you're looking at the outside, but I look at the what, church? Heart. The heart. Our first reaction should always be someone's heart. And I want to tell you the only way that we can see that is through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, before we beat up Eli, we all make that mistake. We've all done it. We're going to do it today. We're human. But what I want us to see here is the reason this was really crazy to Eli is during that time when scripture was read and when prayer occurred, it was out loud. There was no reading to yourself, reading your Bible to yourself. Many of them couldn't read. As a matter of fact, the Torah was shared orally. It was an oral tradition. It was passed down that way. Whenever the festivals came, remember they recited what God told them to recite. Like it was out loud spoken. So to see this person not speaking out loud, looking like they're mumbling, you would think they're probably drunk. I'm thankful we live on this side of the house. Maybe you struggle with an addiction of some sort. You come in this house anytime you want to. It's a wide open space. It don't matter where you are. You're welcome in this house. Maybe you think you're ashamed of that. Ain't nobody here going to be ashamed of it because I told you, ain't none of us got it together. Whether we want to admit it or not, we said it before prayer. We all sinned in that parking lot this morning. Some way, shape, or form, we said something. Our heart did something. We might have cursed the rain. We might have been mad at a red light. But all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. It says this, though. Let's see how the Lord works through this in verse 15 to 18. It says, this is Hannah responding to Eli. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. If you've never had one of those prayers, maybe today's the day you need to do that. Sometimes that's some of the best prayer, isn't it? Because it's just full surrender. Lord, I'm just pouring it all out to you. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. When you pour it all out to the Lord, as Psalm 23 says, anoint my head with oil and my cup does what, church? The only way that it can runneth over is first if it's empty, and I've poured it out. And that's what Hannah's done. Verse 16 goes on to say, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Look at the change in demeanor for Eli right here. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Eli flips from scolding to encouraging. Sometimes that's all we need is that encouraging word, isn't it? Now, let me ask you this before we go on. Did Hannah tell Eli what she was troubled about? Did she say it's because I ain't got no babies? Like, did she say anything like that? She just said, I'm struggling. I need peace. And Eli says, go in peace. See, I think the hardest thing that any of us will ever do, and I don't personally have the joy of this yet, and if it's God's will, it will, but the hardest thing you're ever going to do in life is being a parent. Because there's a thin line between discipline and encouraging while you discipline. It's the hardest thing in the world to do. Right now, if you're a teenager and you're listening, I'm so thankful you're tuned in. Don't tune out. You're not going to listen to me because, I didn't either. I didn't listen either when the pastor said this. One of these days, that parent you think is the most overbearing thing in your life that wants to know who your friends are, wants to know where you are, where you're hanging out, if you're out late, if you're okay. That parent that's just so nosy and all up in my business, I'm going to tell you one day you're going to thank God for that parent. Because let me tell you about that parent. They're going to show up to everything you do at school. Every outing you have, I want to tell you, my mama did that, job or no job. If I had a snot bubble contest, she was showing up to school. She didn't care. She was going to come see it, and the Lord would figure the rest out. Teenager, I'm going to tell you, that same parent is going to be the one, when everyone else has rejected you, they're going to pick up the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. When everyone else has kicked you out, they're going to open the door for you. So thank God for that parent that cares. Because one day, they're not going to be here. And you're gonna remember that. And so today, whether you're a teenager, I know you're trying to spread your wings, but I just want to have that conversation. We're about to be in graduation season, and you may think that parent is just ridiculing you and just, gosh, overbearing. They're not. They love you. And if anything ever happened to you, I'm going to tell you right now, the first one that would be hurt the most is that parent. Is it not? You don't realize that till you get older. So I'm going to tell you, you're going to listen to this in about 20 years, and it's going to make sense. But until then, right now, it ain't. It ain't. You just wish they would leave you alone. So I say all that to say, Eli's having that moment. He's having that encouraging word. Let's go on to see what she says here in verse 18 very quickly. It says, she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then look at what happens to her. Then she went away. She went her way and ate something. Her face was no longer downcast. She receives Eli's word of encouragement, and she goes and finally eats something. Now, what do you think she ate? That blessing, that meat that they had. She was supposed to, in other words, she was so deep in her anguish that she couldn't receive God's blessing. But now all of a sudden, she's laid it all out to the Lord, says, okay, Lord, finally, it's all up to you. I know I can't do anything more. I can't do anything less. This is all yours, and either you're going to do it or you're not, but I'm still going to trust you. So now all of a sudden, boom, she's ready to eat. In spite of everything she has, she doesn't fear her circumstance. She doesn't fear her grief. She doesn't let everything that's in front of her stop her next step. Instead, she steps into it faithfully. I wish I had that kind of faith all the time. I don't know about you. See, our faith doesn't come from what God will or won't do for us. Our faith comes from who God is, right? That's what Hannah's wondering in and walking in. I wonder how peacefully we could walk if we treated our life that way. We sought God first in prayer. Doesn't mean we can't bring brothers and sisters in Christ in, but that thing you're holding on to, have you really gone to God first with, or did you go to everybody else? A lot of times I like to go after everybody else first, especially the ones that tell me what I want to hear, right? But God knows, right? Can we not praise him because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never changes? I'm thankful for that. Goes on to say this in verse 19 through 20. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. They had that Sunday afternoon nap. I tried to set you up, husbands. Go back to the beginning and say, I would give up everything to be with that thing. That's your wife. Come on. I'm just trying to help you. Verse 20. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. I love what verse 20 says. So right away, Hannah was pregnant. So in a year, Hannah was pregnant. In the course of time. She lived out Romans 8:28, right? God is working everything out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? Like, he is working it out for our good and his glory in his time. And Hannah trusted it. The Lord saw Hannah. The Lord heard Hannah. The Lord loved Hannah. by giving her this son. The same is true for you and I in Christ. Can you imagine her excitement when she saw that baby boy? I used to hear that story from my mom all the time. I prayed for you long before I ever saw your face. And it was a miracle that I even got to hold you, because she was always told she could never have kids. And here my fat head comes. She's up. I've already told y'all she's in heaven talking Jesus off a ledge right now, saying, I know you got more work for him to do. Don't call him home yet. Wherever you are right now, I wonder how much joy and praise we can give for those closed wounds in our life that God has done what only he could do. See, I started by saying all of us have a closed wound. We probably have a closed wound right now. This thing that we thought was dead, that God can't bless, that God can't fix, it just is what it is. But is our focus so much on the is what it is that we've forgotten every closed wound that he's opened and brought life to in the past? See, that's what Hannah and Eli have there, man. They get excited here. She's got Elkanah. She has this baby. She's got a worship service. And we're going to see, if you want to skip down to verse 26 to 28, what happens is Hannah weans Samuel, so she doesn't make the trip to Shiloh. And then once he's done weaning, which is probably about 3 years old, she makes the trip to Shiloh. She encounters Eli again. Verse 26 is her reaction to Eli, and it says this. She said to him, pardon me, my lord. As surely as you live, I'm the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord. What does this say? For his what, church? His what life? His whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah didn't hesitate. The Lord blessed her, and instead of holding on to it any longer, she gave him back. This is what we talk about with child dedication, what this looks like, but let's think about this for a moment. Hannah literally goes to Shiloh. We don't know how long that is. It might have been a day's journey. It might have been an hour's journey. I don't know, but what it did mean is Hannah would only see Samuel once a year. Once a year. But she trusted the Lord with it. She gives him back to God. They have their own little worship service here. She continues to dedicate Samuel's life to the Lord. And what I love about this is it's his whole life, not some of his life. And so I would say I'm thankful for my family understanding what God has called me to be as a pastor. As I get to share the gospel, sometimes that means I'm making an offering. I'm pouring myself out in some places where I'm not at home. And that's okay. It doesn't mean I want to neglect my family, but they understand that. Church, that's the same for you and I in Christ Jesus. We are to dedicate our whole life to the Lord, living a life that is not poured into all the time, but is instead poured out to be poured into. A life of service, a life dedicated to God. Hannah, in this moment in time, gives her baggage, her grief, her anxiety, her closed womb for God, or to God, excuse me, and receives his mercy and grace. Receives his blessing. See, 1 Samuel 2, a little homework for you, because I don't want to keep you here, you know, past 3:30 today. A little homework for you is read 1 Samuel 2 when you get home. And then read Luke 1. And I want you to look at Hannah's song and Mary's song. See, Hannah sings this song in 1 Samuel 2, and it becomes a template for prayer. You'll be shocked at how a lot of the Psalms follow that template. But what I love the most about 1 Samuel 2 is we realize and we read that Elkanah and Hannah go back to Shiloh every year. She gets to see her little boy Samuel grow up. And her favorite thing to do is to make him a new robe every year. And so I imagine every year she's excited. She's got his measurement. She's getting ready, and she gets to bring that new robe every year to that little boy that she trusted the Lord, that little blessing that she has. But you see, Hannah's blessing didn't stop at Samuel. Overall, Hannah gets to have five children after, or total, four more after Samuel. She has three sons and two daughters, so five. The number of God's grace, five. See, I wonder today if that's maybe where we are. Maybe you're in Hannah's season. I want you to know wherever you are, God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. Right now, maybe there's a closed womb in your life that you just won't give to God. You're trying to figure it out on your own. You're trying to work your way through it, and it is keeping you up at night in grief and anguish like we started with. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's rest. I don't know what that is, but if there is a closed womb in your life today, the best thing you can do is follow Hannah's example and give it to God. Maybe it's not the closed womb that happened. Maybe God has blessed you from a closed womb to a blessing, and you want to hold on to it so strong, and God is saying, trust me with it. I got to steal this really quick. I promise you, 4:30, we'll get out of here. I got to steal this from Thursday, and it's something Ruby said, whether she realizes it or not. And so many times when it comes to our blessings, it's the truth. When it comes to children, God loves your children more than you do. Did you know God loves you more than you love that blessing, and God loves that blessing more than you love that blessing? Think about that. That's how great God's love is. And so why would we not trust the one that loves them more? I don't know about that, but I mean, if you have children, I will tell you there's not a Vine kid in there that I would not give everything I have for. Like, it, parents say it, and I know I haven't. I love them so much it hurts. But yet, as a parent, I'm sure you know what it means to love something even more than it hurts. And so I would say in this moment in time, maybe you are trying to hold on to that thing. Well, today is your day to leave it at the Lord. Leave it with the Lord. Leave it at the cross. Maybe today, the worst thing that you have walked into is you are in a closed womb of life. See, what happened that I love for each and every one of us that are in Christ Jesus, we understand that all of us were made to be in a relationship with God, Creator God, to have this peace where even in our worst season, we can go to God and experience His peace, as Hannah did finally when she got that encouraging word from Eli. All of us have been in that season, but you see, the reason that we've been there and that we're separated from God is this thing called sin. And realistically, you say, I've never sinned. I don't know what you're talking about. God loves me. I'm a good person. I tithe. I give. I serve at the soup kitchen. And I just want to say, every effort you are making is keeping you in a closed womb. What is that closed womb? A tomb. What is that tomb? Death. Because the wages of sin is death. It has one destination. I don't know about you, but if a womb can't produce a child, I can't make it produce a child. Neither can you. But God can. God can take a closed womb and a filled tomb and go to the cross, and Jesus can live the life we couldn't live, that perfect life we couldn't live. All of us can be 99% pure, but we can't ever be 100. None of us are perfect. And because of that, sin has kept us in that closed womb where we can fight all day long to try to have life, but it will only kill us. And God said, I ain't gonna leave you that way. So He sends His Son into the womb, right? He sends His Son into Mary, who gives birth, a virgin birth to Jesus for us to live and do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He lives the perfect sinless life we couldn't live. He goes to the cross, dies the death, paying our eternal sacrifice, bearing God's wrath, paying the penalty for our sin, which is death. And He's like, hey, dude, I ain't done yet, because I know the worst closed womb you're afraid of is a tomb, is a grave, is death itself. And He goes and He beats that for us. And so today, wherever you are, maybe that's what you're stuck in, is that closed womb. And I just want to tell you, God didn't hesitate to send His Son. God didn't hesitate to give the thing that mattered most to Him up to be in relationship with us the most. And He reminds us of this in John 3:16-17, and it says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. In other words, God is not standing there in judgment of you. God is not standing there like Peninnah, ridiculing you, bickering at you, telling you that your fault is why you aren't blessed. He's saying, I just want to welcome you with open arms. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, wherever you're watching around the world today, we pray out loud here at the Vine for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you, it's the faith that Jesus is who He says He is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live. die the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, whether you're in the house or whether you're in line right or online right now, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold on the count of three. If for the first time you have given your life to Christ, you have stepped out of that closed womb, you have stepped out of that tomb that sin left you in because you've trusted your life with Christ, I want you to do something really bold on the count of three. I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you and you're in the house, if you're online right now, you can give us a raised hand emoji. You're going to see a link pop up here in a moment to thevine.tv/response. We would like to celebrate this decision with you because we want you to know this isn't your finish line. This isn't your get out of hell fire insurance. This is the starting block to the beginning of your eternity to be all that Jesus created you to be. And for the rest of us, we're about to have this moment of worship. I'm just going to remind you one more time. Maybe today your closed womb has left you in anguish and grief. And I'm going to pray as we have these moments of worship, you would lay it down to the Lord. Give him the praise for those closed wombs that he has brought life out of to do what only he could do. Maybe you're in a situation and God's calling you to let go of a blessing that he has given you and trusting him with it. Today, would you leave it with him? So would you stand and let's worship the Lord together.
Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no coming after me, and oh, the overwhelm.
How we started. God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. Come on, let somebody know. God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. That's what we get to share with the world searching for it this week. And our praise will point to him more than anything else. And speaking of praise, there are people here each and every week. We pour ourselves out because we want everyone to know the hope of Christ. And maybe right now you are searching for something. You're welcome at the Y next week. We'd love to see your smiling face. We have breakfast burritos that were zero calorie, and you done missed out. So next week, they won't be leftovers. It's fresh. We'll have something good for you. So make sure you make plans to get here with us. We've got a seat saved for you. We're going to have amazing worship. But most importantly, we're going to be Jesus to everyone who walks in that door. Have an awesome week. And as always, remember, the best is still yet to come.